Ahoy from BA. This is a Rorschach Ocean update from the 7th of October 2025, a summary of what's going down in the 70% surface of the Earth covered in salt water. Starting with a big historic reveal, the University of Massachusetts Boston said on Thursday the 2nd that ancient plankton fossils show the Pacific Ocean's nutrient cycles held steady even during a warm period 3 million years ago. This means marine life may be tougher against climate change than once thought. Researchers studied chemical traces in fossil shells and seabed sediments to see how nutrients once moved through the ocean. The findings suggest that the nutrient supply and fisheries may be resisting global warming. The result offers cautious hope for eastern Pacific fisheries, but scientists warn that rapid warming and overfishing still threaten stocks. While ancient planktons are getting the spotlight, some living minuscule deep-sea life forms may be suffering in silence. The Ocean News shared some findings on Friday the 3rd that University of Hawaii researchers mapped the waters just above the deep ocean floor and found that the seasonally shifting community of microscopic life there is vulnerable to deep-sea mining. Researchers found stark spring-to-fall changes in zooplankton, snails, and barnacles, which can be attributed to the food drifting down from the surface in different seasons. This implies that the underwater marine life may be more dynamic and vulnerable than previously believed, with deep-sea mining disrupting the seafloor ecosystem, stirring sediments, and potentially destroying habitats. From plunging deeper below sea levels to deeper below the Earth's crust, IFL Science reported on Wednesday the 1st that NASA's Gravity Recovery and Climate Experiment, or GRACE, satellites detected a 7,000-kilometer, or 4,300 miles, gravity anomaly over the Atlantic Ocean, coinciding with a global geomagnetic jerk. Researchers traced the 2006 to 2008 signal underground depths where intense pressure and heat caused changes in the mantle's minerals, redistributing Earth's mass and ultimately shifting the magnetic field. Scientists say linking deep mantle dynamics to abrupt gravitational changes could rewrite models of Earth's interior and possibly everything else standing on its surface. Shifting geomagnetic jerks aren't the only forces of nature in play this week. The Australian Broadcasting Corporation reported on Thursday the 2nd that Australia's oceans recorded their hottest year on record, fueling marine heatwaves, widespread coral bleaching from Ningaloo to the Great Barrier Reef, toxic algal blooms, and an unusually active cyclone season. Scientists link warmer seas to heavier rainfall and rapid storm intensification, worsening floods in Sydney and prompting northern evacuations. Experts warn that higher sea temperatures not only disrupt seafood supplies, but also increase extreme weather risks. In some unfortunate news, The Independent reported on Thursday the 2nd that storm surges from hurricanes Umberto and Imelda toppled six beach houses in Buxton on the Outer Banks, North Carolina, as waves of 8 to 12 feet, or 2.5 to 3.5 meters, battered the shore. Five stilted homes fell within 45 minutes, a sixth collapsed later that night. 18 houses have been lost across the Outer Banks this year. No casualties were reported, but officials warned that dangerous surf and debris will disrupt tourism, close beaches, and raise insurance and repair costs for coastal communities. From the faster winds of hurricanes from the north to tropical storms in the equator, the Associated Press reported on Sunday the 5th that Tropical Storm Priscilla formed in the East Pacific off Mexico with winds of 45 mph or 72 kph and tropical force winds extending 140 miles or 225 kilometers from its center. Positioned about 285 miles or nearly 260 kilometers southwest of Manzanillo and moving northwest, Priscilla is forecast to parallel the coast and could reach hurricane strength by Sunday night. A tropical storm watch runs from Punta San Telmo to Punta Mita, with stormy conditions likely through Monday. Extreme weather events are not the only ones damaging people and nature this week. The BBC Africa reported on Thursday the 2nd that small-scale fishermen in Saint Louis, Senegal, blame British Petroleum's, or BP, Greater Tortue Ameyum gas project for falling catches and access to a natural reef known as Diatara. Artisanal crews face a 500-meter or 1,600-feet exclusion zone and competition from industrial trawlers. They are awaiting the construction of 8 artificial reefs in place of the Diatara, which was promised by the company 6 years ago, to replace the natural reefs that have been restricted for its mining operations. Fish shortages have cut many incomes from hundreds of dollars per trip to around $90, which comprises 90% of the community's livelihood, forcing processors and fishers into carpentry, migration, or precarious work. The BP says that the exclusion zones are standard and denies harm. The case ultimately exposes a clash between energy development and coastal livelihoods. From the David versus Goliath story between fishermen and corporations to a conflict between two great nations, the Greek reporter said on Monday the 6th that a spat over the Transcontinental Power Project, Great Sea Interconnector or GSI, erupted between Greece and Cyprus. The GSI, being built as an extensive Eurasia interconnector running through the world's longest submarine power cable, is understandably expensive, to the point that it sparks financial concerns before it even powers the neighboring countries. Greece's grid operator, ADMIE, for instance, challenged Cyprus's approval of €82 million in expense recovery, arguing that cumulative costs have reached €251 million. Cypriot President Nikos Christodoulides rejected, quote, blackmail, unquote, allegations and vowed ties with Athens would remain strong. Greece says a project will pause until Nicosia's concerns are addressed. Meanwhile, Greek Prime Minister Kyriakos Mitsotakis held emergency talks. Sailing over from the Mediterranean to the Caribbean Sea, as NBC News reported on Wednesday the 1st, the Royal Caribbean's Enchantment rescued 10 people from a raft falling apart between Mexico and Cuba after passengers and crew saw a flashing light. A crew launched lifeboats and drones, provided care, and coordinated with the Mexican Coast Guard. All rescued passengers were reported in good health. The ship diverted course to avoid Hurricane Imelda, making the rescue both timely and dangerous. From a recent real-time rescue to a post-rescue resolution, as the BBC reported on Monday the 6th, that New Zealand has paid 10 million Samoan tala, about $3.6 million, to Samoa after Her Majesty's New Zealand ship ran aground, caught fire, and sank last year, leaking oil and killing sea turtles. All 75 crew were rescued. An inquiry cited human error, including an engaged autopilot, as a cause. New Zealand removed fuel and debris and pledged to work with Samoa on the vessel's future. Governmental bodies aren't the only ones taking accountability, as international bodies are also taking a huge step. CNA News reported on Thursday the 2nd that over 100 stakeholders gathered at the Ocean Collective Summit to debate ocean conservation innovation, mentorship, and youth empowerment. Fabien Cousteau, the aquanaut and founder of his namesake organization, the Fabien Cousteau Ocean Learning Center, presented ocean learning and climate resilience work and stressed cross-sector collaboration. Attendees included conservationists, scientists, policymakers, and business leaders. Delegates prioritized funding, coastal community training, and youth-led projects aiming to scale proven local solutions. In other news, the Marine Insight reported on Monday the 6th that Indian seafarers rank among the top 3 labor suppliers in the industry, with a workforce exceeding 300,000, according to Sarbananda Sonowal, the union minister. Speaking at the Indian Maritime University's convocation in Chennai, Sonowal credited policy reforms and infrastructure investment for port modernization faster turnaround and expanded coastal and inland shipping. The government also unveiled financing and shipbuilding packages to boost yards, domestic design and skills, aiming to expand India's role in global shipping. Finally, more long-term solutions to ocean problems are being formulated. The International Maritime Organization, or IMO, reported on Friday the 3rd that delegates at the World Maritime Day Parallel event in Dubai urged governments and industry to scale sustainable shipping, decarbonization, and ocean protection while creating jobs and training. Hosted with the United Arab Emirates Ministry, five panels examined stewardship, pathways to net zero, and marine plastic reduction. The IMO warned that updated rules will affect member economies but unlock green jobs across ports, logistics, and tech. And that's it for this week. Thank you for joining us. Got any feedback? Send us an email at info@rorschach.com. See you next week.